This is Building Bridges with Ken Nash and myself, Mimi Rosenberg. Billionaires feast on $1.5 trillion Trump tax cut, leaves 99% with scraps from their table, and threatens Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. We speak with Dean Baker, formerly an assistant professor of economics at Bucknell University, currently co-director of the Center for Economic Policy Research in Washington, D.C., and Alex Lawson, executive director, Social Security Works. Oh, yeah, does it, Alex? Is that what you told Washington in the demonstrations that were held?
Social Security certainly does work. That is one of the things we told them, along with keep your greedy hands off of all of our benefits, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. And I am on the Hill right now, and unfortunately, my report is that there wasn't much. I mean, one office actually locked the door to us and made us talk to them through the mail slot in the door. That's Representative Ed Royce from California, through the mail slot of the door. Susan Collins locked her door and refused to hear from anybody, including her constituents from Maine. This is what we're up against when it comes to this tax scam.
Tell us more about what actually happened. Obviously, there was perhaps a national grouping that went to Washington to suggest that the tax bill is not a Christmas gift for us, but rather a lump of coal. Tell us more what happened.
So, yeah, you had hundreds of people come into D.C. from all over, and thousands more across the country visiting their representative and their senator's offices. I'm not sure if you saw any of the coverage of a man named Adi Barkin, who has ALS, and he confronted Senator Flake on a plane about how the tax scam was going to hurt him and his family and his child by cutting deeply into Medicaid, by raiding Medicare, by slashing these programs that help keep him alive. And today is his 34th birthday. So a lot of what we were doing was going with Adi from office to office, telling these members and these senators that their vote was not just a vote. It wasn't just a money in a ledger. This is people's lives on the line, and that we are here to make sure they know we're watching them, and we will know how they're voting on this tomorrow.
Well, we're going to talk more with you about the effect on Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security a little bit later. But first, Dean, why don't you talk about how most of us are affected by this tax bill, and how is it that it, some people have called it a sugar-coated poison pill. What about the sugar-coating? What do people really think they're going to get, especially with change CPI and the repeal of the individual mandate?
Yeah, well, there's not a lot of sugar here. I mean, repeal the individual mandate, according to, this is the mandate that people have to buy health care insurance. According to the Congressional Budget Office, that's going to lead to 13 million fewer people getting health care insurance. And just to be clear, a lot of that is that people who qualify for Medicaid won't get it because they presumably don't realize they would qualify, but the mandate's kind of a kick, you know, okay, people don't like that. I'm not thrilled with it myself. But the point is it gets them to sign up, and then they realize they don't even have to pay anything. They get it free. But we'll have many fewer people getting Medicaid, so, and 13 million people, again, fewer people having insurance. So that's a pretty bad story. The change CPI is a little nerdy, but the way the tax code works now, the brackets are indexed to the consumer price index. The change CPI, not worth going into details here, but it rises somewhat less rapidly, about 2 to 3 tenths of a percentage point a year less rapidly. That sounds trivial, but that's cumulative. So over 10 years, what it means is that the brackets are, say, 2.5% lower, so more people are paying taxes at a higher rate. What really concerns me about that, that's somewhat of a tax increase for people, but what really concerns me about that is there have been efforts over the years to have Social Security index the change CPI rather than the overall CPI, which means Social Security benefits would be cut. So again, same story. After 10 years, we'd be looking at Social Security benefits that were 2.5% less, 20 years, 5 or 6% less. That's a fairly big hit to people. So that's, to my view, a big concern. They do have what you might call a little sugar here. There's an expanded child tax credit. Good thing. A lot of the people need it most won't get it because it's not fully refundable. The Center on Budget and Policy Priorities did the calculation that for a couple, two-earner couple, two kids, $30,000, they get $800 a year. That's not zero, but, you know, that's not going to hugely change their standard of living. The big point, though, is that at the end of the day, the money, the big money is all going to the very wealthy. A lot of this, you know, people have joked about it, but it really looks like if you're sitting there, how do we write something to put more money in Donald Trump's pocket? A lot of this sure looks that way. So we have a more generous exemption in the estate tax. We have special treatment of real estate, special treatment of golf courses. I mean, this is, you know, again, if you're sitting there, what can we do to make Donald Trump richer? A lot of it looks that way. And, again, we could all just laugh at that, except, you know, with the points Alex was making. They're going to turn around. These people are absolutely shameless. They're going to turn around and go, oh, my God, the deficit's bigger, and we're going to have to cut Medicare, Medicaid, maybe Social Security. We'll have to see exactly what's on their block. But that's actually the law. So that's not just Alex and I speculating. That's the law. They could change it. But the law, as it stands now, sets deficit targets. They're exceeding them, and there's automatic cuts if they don't hit those deficit targets. So these are the programs on the chopping block, and that's a real big deal.
Dean Baker, the Republicans, when we last checked in, the tax plan was said to give the top 1% of households roughly a $200,000 tax cut, and the bottom 20% got, a whopping $50. Now, is that still how it works out, and how do you juxtapose that with their promise, this is a holiday present, Christmas, that's the only one that matters. It's a Christmas present that's going to stimulate the economy, jobs, 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 and are you all going to thank us? Tell us the real skinny.
Didn't mean to cut you off there. There's some changes. Some make it more tilted towards the rich. Some make it less. So the prior bill, the Senate bill, lowered the top tax rate from 39.6% to 38%. This lowers it to 37%. Again, that might seem trivial, but think about that. You have people that are earning $5, $10 million, so 1% of that. You're talking about $50,000, $100,000 a year. You know, most of us, it wouldn't make that much difference. We got 1 percentage point cut in our taxes, but don't worry, you're not getting it anyhow. You know, the argument, that the one argument that they keep making, that if it were true, then you'd have to take it seriously, that there'd be this flood of investment. They would lead to a huge increase in employment and higher wages. That would sound good to me, except there's very little evidence. Again, this is a very well-studied topic, and it's not just an academic thing. You know, many of us remember back in 1986, big cut in the corporate income tax, and we took it down from 46 to 35%. Investment actually fell the next 2 years. So we've been here, we've done that, it doesn't work. The one point I will add, and I think it is important to note, the economy actually is doing pretty well right now. I mean, we're at 4.1% unemployment. We haven't been there since 2000, and wages actually have started to rise recently as the labor markets tighten. So not saying it's a great economy. We have a long, long way to go to make up for the Great Recession, and even longer if we're talking about making up 3 decades of stagnation prior to that. But things are, for the moment, at least going in the right direction. And I think that is important to point out, because I'd hate to have people think, oh, we passed the tax cut, now things turned around. At the moment, things are actually doing pretty well, and they probably will continue to.
Alex Lawson from Social Security Works. This is estimated to take about $400 billion from Medicare in the next 10 years. I would assume similar amounts from other programs. Let's just focus on Medicare first. How would Medicare function under those conditions?
Worse than today. And what you're talking about is just the PAYGO, which is that automatic deficit. It's the law that's in place right now. But I want to make it really clear that that's not all that's at stake here. Paul Ryan has made it super clear. Marco Rubio has made it super clear that first on their agenda for next year is to come back and cut as much as they can from Medicare and Medicaid. And again, you don't really have to like believe me on this. You can just look at what they tried to do with Trump Care. They're on record. They all voted for it. That was a destruction of Medicaid. $1 trillion destroyed Medicaid. the largest provider of long-term care in this country, and for many people, the only provider of long-term care, in-home care, nursing home care. That's Medicaid. It's for all of us, as well as raiding Medicare for hundreds of billions of dollars. What's at stake is really these programs being able to operate efficiently and to work for us. And that is the crux of what they're doing. They want to destroy these programs. They want to undermine people's confidence in these programs. And then they want to blame it on the programs so that they can get rid of them entirely, so that they can throw all of us onto the private insurance market, so that our friends in the insurance industry can take in all this money and give them campaign donations. I really am not overstating it when I say that they only have one plan. It's to reach into our pockets, steal our money, and give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. That's what's at stake with this bill.
Dean Baker, I want to ask, well, since we're on the issue of health care in a manner of speaking, and I have a union plan, what's going to happen to me? Are my premiums going to shoot through the roof at this point?
Well, I can't really answer without knowing more specifics about the plan. I mean, most immediately what's affected are the individual markets, both the markets within the exchanges, but individual markets more generally will be affected. Union plans, it is pretty hard to say. Some of the union plans were in financial difficulties for reasons not directly to do with the tax cut. You know, let's put it this way, they aren't going to be helped, but you know, it's difficult to say how a specific plan will be affected by this.
Well, then let me head to another area, and that is Puerto Rico, which had sought an exemption from new taxes, citing the frail state of its economy nearly 3 months after Hurricane Maria. But no such luck? How the heck are we to understand that?
I mean, there are some privileges, preferences in the tax code to encourage businesses to locate in Puerto Rico. One could argue whether those were very effective. They're good things to do. But that's going to hurt them that they're taking them away in this. So, you know, and people are looking for help in Puerto Rico. They're going to get less rather than more with this. And, you know, yeah, it is kind of incredible. I mean, it's still, 3 months now after the hurricanes, and there's still large chunks of the island without electricity, without potable water. It's pretty incredible. I mean, it's part of the United States. I mean, it's bad enough. You think not that people in the developing world should be experiencing that either, but, you know, we know they do. But here, you know, part of the United States, you have people going months without, you know, what we would consider sort of bare necessities.
Dean, the individual tax rates go down from the high of 39 to 37%. That doesn't seem very much, but people have been pointing out that this pass-through agreement, and you'll have to explain why that is, could bring it way down for a lot of people.
Pass-through, this is to my view, just an incredible scam. A pass-through corporation, I mean, to my view, this shouldn't even exist. A pass-through corporation is a corporation that enjoys the benefits of corporate status. So if I have a pass-through corporation and, you know, say it's a fireworks factory and it blows up and takes down a neighborhood, people get hurt, people get killed, well, they can't sue me. They sue my corporation. And if my corporation's out of money, I just go, well, I feel bad for you guys, but, you know, that was the breaks. Well, corporations, part of the quid pro quo was you pay the corporate income tax. Pass-through corporations don't pay any tax, so they just pass the profit on to the individuals. And people talk in this thing, the Republicans have been very clever, and a lot of the media has bought this. They talk about reducing the tax on pass-through corporations. You can't reduce the tax on pass-through corporations. The tax on pass-through corporations is zero. What they're talking about doing is reducing the tax on income from pass-through corporations. And that was the special provision that they put in for real estate and energy industry, that these corporations in particular will be able to pass through income to people like Donald Trump and Senator Corker, who switched his vote, and only pay 20%. So instead of, you know, they're paying 37% on their income, they'll just pay 20%. So that's kind of an incredible scam, and, you know, that they would do this in the light of day, you know, it just shows their contempt for the public. Just, you know, we could stuff our pockets. You don't like it, you know, go somewhere else.
Alex, I'm going to go back to the health question. So people buying health insurance. Now, the repeal of the individual mandate, there are people who currently buy health insurance because they're required by law to do so. And they're expected now, I understand, to go without coverage. So what can you tell us about the health care issues embedded in this tax bill and put a human face on it as you did earlier?
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot here, and I do enjoy going over specifics because it's important. But to Dean's point, this bill is just, it's so overt in what it does. It's nothing in here. If you're not a senator whose vote they need, like Senator Corker, who they're willing to just buy for $1.1 million, and he throws up his hands like, oh, I didn't even know that was in there.
He literally said that, by the way.
Yeah. The grease was there specifically for him. It was a bribe to a senator in a bill to get his yes vote, and they got it. That's how overt we're talking about. So what's at stake for people's health care? Their lives. Their lives are at stake. There are millions of people, children in this country, who rely on Medicaid to keep them alive. And if this tax bill goes through, the devastating cuts to Medicaid that are part and parcel of it will kill people. That's what's at stake here. They're stealing our money. They're stealing our health. Also, some Wall Street banker can get yet another golden yacht, and they're not even hiding it. And you want to know what? They're laughing at us. They're saying, what can you do about it? They're making us talk to them through the mail slots on their doors in this, which is supposed to be the people's building.
Well, you Alex, I just want to back up for a minute. And by the way, when I was a kid, you know what we did with the mail slots? We had seltzer bottles that squirted, and we went around to people's mail slots, and we squirted the I shouldn't tell – how did they ever let me pass the bar? But in any event
– I don't know if you're being prosecuted on that this many years.
Who knows? But,
well,
you know,
lawyer.
What I also wanted to say, just in case people don't get it, you're telling us they're going to go after Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, sacrosanct benefits virtually. The difference between people who've worked all their lives when they stop working, being out on the street, being in the workhouses of old, a Dickinsonian United States. Why are you so sure? Aren't we just being negative? Aren't we just attacking the Trump? Where does that come from? How are you so sure that that's the upshot of this tax bill?
I just listened to them.
Thank you.
That's what I was thinking.
It is what they say.
Yes.
They say it. They're open about it now. But, I mean, one thing is that people can go and look at what was in Trump Care. They were pushing this with everything they had, and we defeated them because there's a huge swell of popular outrage that said no. Trump Care and the tax scam are the exact same thing, just in a slightly different order. But they only have one playbook, and this is it. They know they have to go after Social Security probably a little bit later for some technical reasons that we can get into. But Medicare and Medicaid are up right away. And Paul Ryan has said that. Marco Rubio has said that. This is what the plan is. This is what the plan has always been. And you just have to take them at their word on this. And when it comes to stealing our money, they're actually refreshingly honest about it. All sorts of other things, you can't believe them. But when it comes to they're going to come for working families, they're going to take our money, they're going to take our earned benefits, and they're going to give it to their friends on Wall Street, you got to trust them.
Okay, Dean, so let's see how refreshingly honest they are about this whole deal with taxing foreign profits.
Well, as it stands now, there's already kind of a scam in the tax code that with foreign profits, as long as they're kept overseas, companies don't have to pay taxes on them. So you have companies like Apple that have accumulated billions of dollars over the years. They book in Ireland, Ireland being a very low-tax country. And, you know, as long as they ostensibly keep it in Ireland, they don't have to pay tax on it. But the idea is, well, at some point they'll bring it back, which generally they do at some point, and then it's subject to tax. What this says is, on the one hand, it lets them bring back what they've kept abroad at a big discount. But then it also says, going forward, if you earn your income in Ireland or wherever it might be, you won't have to pay any U.S. tax. And this is really important for two reasons. One is, of course, they actually do have operations in these countries. But the other point is you give them enormous incentive to play games. And, of course, Apple's been doing that, but they'll do it even more because we can't – they developed their next iPhone. Well, they have a division in Ireland. Were they the ones that were responsible for all the money in the iPhone? We have no way of knowing. They're going to say it. How's the IRS going to prove that wrong? So you could be damn sure that they're going to – I'm picking on Apple here, but it's going to be a lot of companies – that they're going to say, oh, yeah, all our profits, that came from Ireland, that came from Bahamas, that came from Bermuda. That wasn't from the United States. We don't have to pay tax on it. And needless to say, they'll get away with that. So they're looking at a very big corporate tax cut. In addition, I mean, the law, they're lowering it from 35% to 21%, but this treatment of foreign profits is just inviting them to reduce their taxes quite a bit further.
And, of course, there's the projection that 13 million fewer Americans are projected to have health coverage. So you're both activists. You're both activists. What can be done? The die seems to be cast. Where do we go from here? How do we roll back what will influence an entire generation? And as Alex so brilliantly described for us, the lives that will be taken as a result of these catastrophic windfalls for the rich on the backs of the poor, who are the ones who create the wealth.
These people made a decision, and I'm saying these people, the Republicans in Congress, they know this is hugely unpopular. They read the polls. I mean, that's why they're there. They read polls. They do know that. It's hugely unpopular. But what they're hearing from their donors is, you have to do this for us. And their bet is, okay, they're going to give us the money for the next election. And if we don't win, we're going to get $1 million-plus salaries as lobbyists. So in a certain sense, they don't care. So we have to make it so that all of them are out on the street as soon as possible. And the story in Alabama, you know, people really should be very happy about that. That's a huge deal. A Democrat getting elected in Alabama is kind of amazing. And, you know, needless to say, they all saw that. They all saw that, and they know that pretty much all of them could be beat. And, you know, again, we will yell at the Democrats because we can't count on them to do the right thing. But the point is, if you send a lot of these guys packing for doing this, and then their efforts on Medicaid and Medicare that, you know, we know where they're going to try, we could stop that.
And, yeah, Alex, give us some of that fire and fury and maybe some Celsa bottles right through their mail slots.
But that is what it's going to take, seltzer bottles in the mail slots. What that is going to look like is we have to never feel despair at a loss on something like this. We have to fight till the absolute end. We have to make them fight for every inch. And we have to remember that we never lose unless we forget what we're fighting for. And we take this directly into 2018. We don't pause for a minute. We don't pause for a minute. We take that fire, that rage, that outrage that these billionaires are stealing our money and their lackeys in Washington, D.C. are doing their bidding, and we come for every single one of them. What Alabama said is that not a single Republican is safe. You look at the margin that what Trump won Alabama by, what Republicans usually win Alabama by, and you tell me what district is safe if the Republicans can't win a Senate seat in Alabama. You tell me what district is safe when you look at the election returns from Virginia. We take this to every single district. We take this to every single legislator who voted to rob the people so that their billionaire buddies can buy another yacht. That is what we have to do. And that, after we take power, then we tax the rich. Then we raise taxes on those billionaires who stole our money. And we take that money and we expand Social Security. We expand Medicare to cover everyone in this country. We build a country and a future that we believe in. That is the plan. That is the only plan going forward.
But, Alex, people are taking to the streets this week, it seems. Shouldn't that have been last week, the week before that? This has been very quiet. Don't we really need to go out on the streets and have some civil disobedience from now until forever?
We do. Let me tell you one thing. We were out. We were here last week. We were here the week before. The people are here. This is not a conspiracy. The corporate media are some of the biggest benefactors, the seven corporations who own almost all of the media, not truth tellers like you, but all of the corporate media. They didn't want to tell the story about what is actually in the tax scam because they're the benefactors of the tax scam. So we not only have to get out in the streets, which we are doing, but we have to get our stories out there. We have to tell people, remind them that they're not alone. I always say the most radical act you can take is to get organized, to stand with your neighbors, to stand with your allies, to raise your voices together, because when we do that, we can't be defeated.
So we're going to just give Dean Baker, also an activist, where do you go from here? How do you proselytize, organize in the weeks and months to come, just like our wonderful firebrand Alex Lawson is telling us? The people have been there. We will continue to build and move and shake. And you, Dean Baker?
Yeah, well, people have to come out. They have to see that there are other people together. I mean, you know, this has been ongoing. I mean, we defeated their efforts to undermine, to repeal Obamacare, and that was because a lot of people came out. You had town halls. You had members of Congress hiding. I mean, what Alex is talking about with they have to talk to their members of Congress or senators through the mail slot. Well, that's outrageous on the one hand, but that's because these people are scared. They know that they don't have the support of their constituents, and it's important people come out and see that there's other people who share their views, share their anger. And again, we won with Obamacare, and we could do that again on this. It's going to be a big effort. It's not going to be a single day. It's not going to be one protest. It's going to be a lot. It has to be a sustained effort. But I feel pretty confident. I mean, the story in Alabama, as Alex said, that was remarkable. Who would have thought a Democrat would win the Senate in Alabama? And I'm in Washington. People were laughing at that just 3 weeks ago, a month ago, and it happened. So these people know that they're not safe, and they're going to be defeated. And
indeed,
again, the important thing is that people come out and they see that there are others who share their views.
And with leadership like Dean Baker from the Center for Economic Policy Research and the fiery, wonderful Alex Lawson, Executive Director of Social Security Works. We're going to hear a lot more from both of them in the weeks and months to come, and from William Barber, who is building a national poor people's campaign. So there's going to be a lot of things for us to do. Thank you both. Thank you both. We will prevail. We will make it so. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.